Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sweet Discussions. It's Tuesday night, so gather around, get your poems, get your muse, get your laughter on, get your sadness on, get your hearts open. It's open poetry here on Sweet Discussions. So let's move it along. That was shit. That was the words of Jay Hatter. Sorry for being late. Had a little bit of computer and technology problems here. Couldn't get Blog Talk to be Blog Talk. Couldn't get my computer to say it wanted to be across the lovely internet world. But hey, we're here now. That was sung by Shout Eden Chai. It's a beautiful, beautiful rendition of Hatter's words. Our own poet master here on a team of voices inside of All Poetry, the world's largest poetry group. Come join us. I am Sweepy, and I have my incredibly feel-your-way-through-it hands-on deck and anything else you can get his hands on. Rackentor joining me. Hello, Rack. How are you?
I'm here. Outstanding in my field.
Thank you. I love this. Racky did this for me, so I'm going to play it.
And now it's time for some scintillating sweet speculations from our Scarlet Smart Mouth, Sweet Pea.
I really love that. I need to play that every single time. Oh. And now here's our luscious babe, Deb. Hello, luscious babe.
Hello, beautiful.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I had a rough spot there. I couldn't get things moving. It was a little crazy. It was a little crazy.
I thought I was going to have to cancel yesterday. The power was flashing in and out. And I knew from reading for Stephen and Kay that they were on their porch because their power was playing games. And I thought, what the heck? So seems to be the norm anymore. Issues.
I'm telling you what.
Norm.
And you just blink it out on me again. Studio just blinked out on me again. Okay, there. Now I'm back again. Okay, this is going to be fun. Okay. Yay. Hey, you go away. I have a puppy that wants to say hello, and I don't have that time for that to happen.
Remain too.
All right. Okay. We got other people coming. Got other people joining me.
Hello. How are you doing?
Grass.
Hello. How are you? This is Grass.
Good. Yep.
All right. See, I don't recognize your number. I don't have that fabulous number, but I kind of figured. So I'm very happy. It's a Grass!
Hey.
Hi.
How's it going?
You know how happy I am. It's going. It's been a rough
it's
week,
going.
But it's going. It's going somewhere. I'm very excited about that. Oh. Taking a deep breath. Settling into the show. Especially since it took me a minute to get here. And I don't like that rocky start. Kind of don't like that at all. I like things to be smooth.
Oh, that happens all the time in there.
I like to be like ready just to kind of walk in and be a smooth player. Not the blah, blah, blah. That's not my style. Oh, stop booing at me. Everybody's mooing at me today. That's how I feel, like a cow in the pasture kind of thing. Yeah, I'm telling you what. I really do feel that way, too. Got so much poetry about cows and sharks and dogs and puppies and all those kinds of things. I'm very excited about. Oh, I got somebody I don't even know. Deb, do you know if Shelby AB has permission that we can read her stuff?
Absolutely.
Oh,
and there's also SoundCloud in the studio for you.
So I'm like, I don't know her. I don't know her. Sounds like somebody she gets to know, though. So I'm excited about that.
Awesome.
Good old open poetry. And I've got a poem that doesn't include snakes by AP, so I'm very excited about that, too.
Yeah, he is time pinched, so he recorded it just in case. So maybe let it sit a bit and see what happens, but just in case it's there.
Okay. Crystal's going to call me. I'm very excited about that, too. Grass is here. Grass, you got to go. You got to read and go.
No, I can hang out for a little bit.
Oh, cool. I'm happy. I got people to talk to. Not everybody's a recording and leaving me. Usually everybody's like, I got to go. We're leaving you. We don't like you very much today. But not tonight. We're hanging out with the cowgirl.
That one wasn't me.
Bye.
That was perfect timing.
I know. I know. I was very excited. I'm almost to 80. I'm on my 70th ninth front page pick. So I got to do something to make it 80, and then I'm just going to lie there and be happy. Not that I wasn't lying there at number one and being happy, but now I have a goal. And it was thanks to Deb again, so.
Oh, cool. I love when the Monday prompts get, and my contest.
It wasn't Monday. It was your contest. So.
Contest, yeah. Sweet. It
yeah,
was an amazing
wow.
poem. I'm pretty sure I'm the one that nominated it. I think I put this one like gold. It knocked my socks off.
I was like, wow. So I was very happy about that. Thank you. Not that we should be bragging about my poetry, but I was blown away. Yeah, that was pretty cool. So I was like, wow, that's crazy. So now I'm like, I hate odd numbers, so now I have to do an even number. So and then it just has to sit there because I hate odd numbers.
Don't
are
hate
you
odd
like
numbers.
That? Like I can't stand like when something's like at a 77 or 73, it's like, okay, I gotta get that
round it up
number. Yeah.
Don't hate on odd numbers.
Why?
Because the odd means love too.
Aww. It's not that I hate odd numbers. Because if it was 74, I'd want it to be a 75, and 75 is an odd number. It's just gotta
right.
be like that. Not. It's gotta be like a. I don't know, like a weird thing for me. Like I don't want 71, but I'll be okay with 72. I don't know why. It's just got to, like, be a number I like. 79 is not one. Like, if it was 69, I'd be okay. But 79, no, I want 80.
770, never mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, she'll be okay, and we love her very much.
Yeah, you're right. She's all right, we promise. She's all right. It's all right. We shall be good. So, yeah. And then I'm like, to my very first for a front page pick, and I'm like, oh, my God, why would they pick that? That's horrible writing. But I'm glad they did. Yeah. So, yeah. So one of these days, I think I'll do a show just on your front page picks, like your favorite and your, like, one you went, oh, my God, why would they do that? And then everybody can go, well, this is why they did that.
That's a really cool idea, though, because there are some where you're like, what? So, yeah.
What was it?
Exactly.
Who thought that?
I got some doozies that were chosen. I'm like, really? Come on. I mean, I'm always grateful when one is chosen. Don't get me wrong, but you know.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, I don't believe that.
I
yeah.
actually had one disappear, but I won't go into that.
Say that again?
So the
it was a French page pick for a day, and then they took it away.
What?
Oh, okay, that's weird.
Yeah, it was weird.
That's controversy. I don't want controversy.
It was so good, it was burning the other people's eyes out, so they had to take it off the site. That's what happened.
Probably.
I've had ones like that before, too.
Okay, so this is one of
if
my first ones.
If you're still
talking
about Commanded by the Moon, it's still on the front page.
No, he's talking about one of his own.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Never mind.
That's okay.
I don't mind. I don't know if mine went on there. Oh, good. Okay, so this is my open poetry tonight. This is one of my very grandiose first page front page picks because I got one and I went back and I looked. I'm like, what am I going to do tonight? So this I went back to the beginnings and wanted to see what I wrote that they went and said, oh, let's put this girl on the front page. So this is my start, people. And it's a lovely poem about kissing your grandmother.
I'm scared.
Let's just kiss grandma. 3 years ago now. Lips dried, dirty brown from cigarettes, burning down into bleeding gums, fingers caked with the blackest earth, eyes glow yellow and run with goo, skin so thin, bones so through, wispy wheezes of whispers filter from a red, bloated, nosed, hollowed, words screeched out from some hole. Kiss your grandma, little one. She loves you so. So let her hug you tight. Isn't she beautiful? I quickly do as I am told. For last year, grandma turned my brother into a toad. And poem.
No, there's nothing wrong with that, my sweet. Did you hear all the laughter from that? And, like, look at that gentle kiss my grandma entry into the darkness there and the unexpected.
Oh,
what did I write?
God.
Oh, wow, sweet pea, this is too perfectly scary. Love it. And I want to remember not, and I remember not wanting that kiss. Yeah. I remember relatives that you just didn't want to have to kiss before you left, and we had to kiss everybody before we left when we were kids. So, like, yeah, this is cool.
Oh, that's just funny to me.
Yeah. Nowadays, you don't make them, and in all honesty, my daughters were told that if anybody, doesn't matter who it is, tried to force you to kiss them, to that they had permission to kick certain spots, and you know, one of my relatives was not exactly pleased the first time my youngest daughter announced that if you don't back off, I'll kick you in those dangling objects. But yeah, how things change. But like, Brack, what'd you think of Sweet's poem?
Yeah, it's just that expression when you call an old people like a bag of bones. She captured all of the things that happen to old people as they get older, the unfortunate things that they have no control over, really, that just, you know, kind of are more evident to the younger people when they come up to them, the smells. I mean, your eye level with different body parts and you're feeling and seeing different things from that perspective. It's just a whole another world. And, you know, on top of, you know, the kiss, you get the pinch too, usually, you know. So, yeah, it's very relatable. And then, you know, the little magic of turning him into a toad. Yeah, well, grandma got insulted. You don't want to insult grandma ever. It was
talk
a cute
about
piece.
Subtly calling grandma the wicked witch. And then you suddenly think of that relative you have to kiss that feels the need to lick their lips real soggy and nasty first, and then you're like, oh. Anyway, that's what you think of Sweet's poem.
Oh.
Hey, little sweetheart, come here and give your grandma a kiss. Yeah.
That's great. Oh, my God.
I had a good time with that. That's funny.
Yeah, I'm going to be Mushroom Key in Hatter's hat pretty soon. Oh.
Yep.
That's great.
Grandma.
It's Pretty Bird. Hey, Pretty Bird.
Hello, hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. Sorry, I'm late.
Oh, I was late. It's okay.
Oh, perfect then.
Yeah, it's perfect. I was just reading my very, like, I got my 79th front page pick, so I went back and I found, like, my second first front page pick, and it's kind of hilarious, but, yeah, things have changed, but it was pretty funny. But, yeah, we're talking about, you know, poetry before, then, after, whatever. But it's been quite a hoot.
That's cool.
Yes. So how's your day been?
Yeah, it's been a day. That's pretty much it. It's just been a day. School starts tomorrow, so just losing my mind a little bit.
Oh, wow. School starts tomorrow already? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, got a good one.
Do they get out
of
May instead
of June? It depends. Hello, AP. Here they used to start at the end of August, get out the beginning of June. Here last year they started closer to the beginning of August, and they got out at the very end of May. So not sure where it's going to fall this year. It depends on if there are any hurricane days.
All right, Deb, we're going to throw you on the board. It's always interesting when I say we're going to throw somebody on the board, because it's more like a leisurely toss as I go and I find you and I pretend that I can do this in a hurry. And
oh, she's up already.
We're not... Oh, good board, people. Never mind. I'm not doing anything anymore. I'm just going to keep talking. Because my heroes are here.
That's why we're here.
Okay.
We talk.
It's just to make it easier for you is all.
That's why I love you. Yay.
You keep talking.
All right. No, I can't. Deb's going to read now.
Well, I figured when we hung up this afternoon, I wanted to find a way to make you laugh or at least giggle. So I saw a picture and a poem was born. So it's called Hearts Marked a View, and this heifer is in a mood. Here we go. At the dairy farm with the big wildflower meadows, cows graze neath the citrus sunshine as it glows. Chickens cluck and peck around the coop, and the goats in the field drop pellets of poop. Sunflower blooms swing in the morning breeze, teasing the buzzy pollinator worker bees. The shape of opal clouds floating on cobalt skies match the patch between two dark chocolate eyes. From the forehead mark to the pink painted hooves, this sweet speckled heifer shows all of her moves. Tiptoeing down the blooming milkweed aisles, the wild life accessories are displayed with style. A crimson tanager perches and sings by her ear, flirting with the starling sitting on the giant steer. Then from spiral flight, a stained glass butterfly lands, tickling her wet ebony nose as the little flyer stands. But then the picture postcard scene has a little snag, setting off the judgmental mooing of the neighbor's nag. For as this heifer moves, her curves, teats dangle, and eyes can spy pink glitter tassels from the angle. She wiggles and then waddles with pep in her gait to the banyan tree to hook up with her mate. He's the boisterous bull whipping the flies with his tail, but at noon, men castrate him, then label him for sale. And poof.
Oh, why you got to do that to my man? Oh, my God, I love this. Oh, I love this so much. I love the setting off the judgmental mooing of the neighbor's nag. For as this heifer moves her curve, tits dangle, and eyes can spy pink glitter tassels from the angle. I love that. I've got my pink glitter tassels. Take that, because I got more than two. My teats are all a flutter. I love the pink painted hooves too. And you know you need more than one tassels on a cow. I love opal clouds floating. I cobalt spot and bees pollinating. I mean, you got the butterflies, the bees, you've got it all in here. And the clucking of the chickens and the pollinating and the pellets of poo are plopping all over the damn place around here. It is a lot like the conversation I just went off on your ear this afternoon. Men castrating my bull. Just when I need him the most, there he goes, off the field for sale. Thank you, Deb. This is hilarious. And it's just written all over some of the crap I'm going through. Fabulous metaphor and imagery. Just beautiful. Gross.
Thank you, dear heart.
What did you think?
Move over. Oh, I love Deb. It's funny. It's, imagery is really good, and it's good to have a little bit of laughter around. But you can't castrate her before she gets some.
Well, that's why she was getting some first.
Oh, okay, okay, all right.
Saying.
Then she'll be full to have full milk, right? That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Right. Well, when they're done breeding, they become a steer. The footnote in the author's note.
Funny stuff. Good job.
And
thank
my
you,
pretty,
thank
pretty
you.
Bird. What did you think?
Oh, life on the farm. I'm kind of loving the chickens in the coop and the goats in their poop, and because that just made me giggle because it's true. And little pellets that look unfortunately so similar to chocolate.
Yep.
And so, you know, they're living life, and she's all dolled up in her glitter, going to the nice banyan tree because, you know, why do it in the sun when you can do it in the shade? So that he gets one last hurrah before he is no longer all bull. I love that. That's awesome. This is coming up. That's, you know, wonderfully colorful. Great job.
Thank you, Prima.
And Mr. Rackley.
You are so welcome.
And Mr. Rackley, for your thoughts.
We could always count on Deb never to steer us wrong. It was a very unique song. I enjoyed it, and you know, it is very, very barnyard-like. The only thing missing was the spider, and it could have been Charlotte's Web.
Take two, but thank you, Rack.
And A.P. Taylor.
Well, clearly there's a lot here at stake, and I go and meet. Obviously, the sausage has already been grilled, so a bit of bad luck. Very nice poem.
Thank you,
yes. And Mr. Anxious Rona, who is listening to the radio right now, thank you very much. I appreciate your thoughts. So, AP, we're going to throw you up on the board next.
Well, I actually got you a doggy tail. Sweet.
I know. I'm very excited about that.
And it contains no reptilian items. This is a black and white streak. And it goes a little bit like this. But streaking past, he would track in great flurry and ample grace, coat shining white upon black. He was always working to space, so there was no moment to waste, as on to the next paddock roared, around another group he traced, till proper order had been restored. And his tongue to the wind cast, tiny yelps made him easy to track, for anything on four legs past, this border collie's name was Mac. Until one day, he did not appear, his food bowl left and his rusk. So we all wandered far and near, started with hope, gone by dusk. But it wasn't until a week later, far out the back western sand, when I saw a black fur crater and his remains there at hand. Burn marks clear upon his nose, his chances Buckley's and none. A direct lightning hit, he left suppose one thing he could not outrun. Still, he graces those sea breezes, steel gates do no longer impede. the shadows of past cattle seizures and gathers them all up with speed. End poem.
Oh. No steak. You would kill Border Collie.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Okay. I got to say that this is a beautiful tribute to an amazing Border Collie. Because Border Collies are amazing herders with cattle. And I love so many Border Collies, in my life right now, black and white Border Collies to be particular, are very special to me. Right now I have one that's not doing well, but I love this. I saw a black fur crater and all his remains there at hand. Burn marks clear up to his nose, his chances, Buckley's and none. Direct lightning hit left, suppose, one thing he could not outrun. But, you know, he's still out there chasing his cattle. He's still out there doing his thing. But I really loved that, you know, Mac is out there and he's doing his thing, because if there's ever going to be a tribute to a black Border Collie, it's out there keeping his cattle safe. It's out there doing what he's got to do. And you know you're an SOB for sending this to me, but it's done perfectly in rhyme and cadence and the fact that I love it because I know what a great tribute it is. But, yeah, no snakes, but killing a Border Collie. I love it. you just outdo yourself every time you do this to me. Beautiful. Thank you, AP. Rocking Tour, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm listening, and I'm like, did you just fry a dog? I mean, you did it in an elegant way. It's a beautiful story, and I'm sure it actually happens in real life, but, you know, it's very unexpected, you know. It's a story about a dog. I'm like, you know, settling in for the fun, you know, the puppy dog tails, which I think Border Collies are one of the ones that don't have tails. But, you know, I'm settling in for the fun, and then – And then, you know, this one kind of ouch, but you know, it was a beautiful tribute to the dog. You know, you painted a very vivid picture. I thought it was wonderful.
Thanks, Ray. Thank you.
And McGrath.
Yeah, I. For starters, I think that the closing stanza was a really awesome way to, like, leave the ending hopeful after breaking our hearts with emotion for the dog, which talk about, you know, strength in 10. But I think, on a side note, that the dog's name is really cool, and I find myself wondering how much fact-based, or is this just a tale?
No, fact-based.
Because your voice, there was something in
your
voice.
Yeah, absolutely,
so that's
fact-based.
Yeah. Is the name real?
Yes, absolutely.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Great share.
And, Gress, your thoughts.
So sad, the tale of Mac. I'm afraid he won't be back. However, he'll live on in the minds of men and how he gathers the cattle into the pen. Wonderful job, AP.
Thank you, sir.
And Pretty Bird.
AP, you got me. You know, I mean, I'm good with eviscerating people and all of that good stuff, but not the puppy. Oh, you got me. And it was a quick transition, so it really kind of came out of nowhere because, you know, he's yelping and running and tongue hanging out, loving life, and then he's missing, and then he's gone. And it broke my heart. I'm glad I got called on last because I was weeping I was. And because it got me. It just, it really did. And it's a beautiful, loving tale. And when your voice changed right there at the twist, it got solemn and somber. And it got me. It did.
And you're so sweet. I mean, I'm all like calling him the son of a bitch, and you're like, oh, and you're so sweet. I'm like, you SOB, why'd you do that? I feel for you, AP, I really do.
Something you've never heard before.
No, I it's my relationship with AP. He knows how I feel.
Huh? He must be muted.
Yeah, you know, we've got each other's back.
I think that was a hurting pun.
Yeah, you know. No, I loved it. He knows it. Was it your dog, AP, or someone else's?
No, it was my grandfather's dog.
Was it? No,
yeah.
I really knew it was a dog you knew the second you... Second, you started talking about the dog.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh. That's a great tribute poem, dude. I'm surprised. I never knew about border collies. You don't talk too much about dogs or herding dogs.
We
and I
we
talk about
them
all the time.
You talk about them all the time, but no, we had a series of big dogs, but the border collies were my favorite, and Mac was my favorite of the border collies.
Oh.
Yeah, I love border collies. Granted, I'm a big Australian Shepherd girl over the border collie, but the difference between a border collie and an Australian Shepherd is a border collie will lay down and stare at you for hours. Until you pretty much go, move, go ahead, I dare you, move, go ahead, I dare you. And an Australian Shepherd will jump 100 times, left to right, left to right, left to right, go ahead, 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 go ahead. I mean, Australian Shepherds have ADHD and they never stop. Border Collie's like the dog that will play poker with you and just stare you down. So, Border Collie.
Oh, they're very, very, very. They're very clever, obviously, and very fast, and sort of their own, you know, the person who owns a border collie sort of gets to sort of push them gently in the direction that you sort of want them in, but they just go in the direction they want, and they do what they want to do, and they're just so smart.
Yeah, border collies are very cunning and conniving, and you don't know you've been moved, and they've already moved you.
Yeah.
With an Australian Shepherd, they're much more like bulls in a china shop, and they just come at you. And yeah, border collies are very, very fun to watch. But yeah, we'll talk. One day we should just do all dogs all the time, but that's kind of annoying to the rest of the world. All right. Enough about dogs for now, but I loved you. Thank you for bringing it. It was beautiful and made me smile, actually, in a sad, somber kind of way.
Good songs, they say.
Yes, I know. All right, we have Gress on the board. Gress.
All right. How you doing?
I'm very excited you're so Gress. I'm good.
Oh. Here, let me pull up my thing here. All right. So I wrote this last week. The prompt was take chances. That's all it said. So here we go. This is called The Greatest Show on Earth. I struggle with my hate, a volley between this prison I've created. I am the jailer and the oversized key that never fits the lock. Fed daily the ego with cornbreaded writing dripped in the water, so I won't choke as it goes down, realizing I write because of the imaginary key. I write because. Love found me, but I can't
hurl my body onto the chaos. I'm a chicken shit sandwich made from scraps of maybes, and I wish I could. Risk of rejection, risk of feeling. The canopy has rips, but the show goes on. In the audience, everyone sees the stars through the holes. I only see the faults and sew the fabric again. Yes, I laugh. I dance when the calliope plays. I hate the clowns, for I am one of them. A painted on smile, stupid and animated. Only they keep me juggling with the seals. Love is a tightrope, and I'm afraid of heights. This year, fear or no fear, I'll go without a safety net and fly with the greatest of ease.
Wow. Okay. Wow, first off. Be gay the eagle with cornbread and kissing water. Love found me, but I can't hurl my body onto the chaos. Risk of rejection, risk of feeling. I only see the faults, and I sew the fabric again. Yes, I laugh, I dance, I hate the clowns, but I am one of them. Faith keeps me juggling with the seals. Love is a tightrope, I am afraid of the heights. I'll go without the safety net and fly with the greatest of ease. Those are all my favorite lines. Okay, so that's pretty much the whole damn poem. But what? What a masterful way of looking at, I don't know if it's guilt, shame, second chances, mirroring your mirror of insecurity and saying to hell with it, or saying I've cocooned myself into this world of uncertainty, it's time to just go without the safety net because I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but I'm going to move forward. Or, you know, I see the stars, but I'm still going to keep painting up that show, or it's the greatest show of all. And I'm going to keep playing the clown, and I'm never really going to truly move forward. So it's kind of got this double standard of, are you really going to but without the safety net, or are you still going to play in the greatest show of all and just be in the circus? Are you really going to live life or be in the greatest show? I'm kind of trying to figure that out.
Yeah, it's kind of like a collection of things because I don't, you know. I'm getting old, right? So I don't have anybody that loves
Hmm. It's just very interesting because the end of it is I'll go without a safety net.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
Thank you.
Trevor, your thoughts?
You know, this is a wonderful bit of introspection that I think everybody can relate to, because how many of us, you know, look at ourselves either from within or without and see nothing but our flaws or things we wish were different or things we want to change, when the rest of the world, those people who surround us, all they see are the good things, the beauty, the all of it. And, you know, like I'm like, and my hair is turning gray and there are wrinkles and I don't care if you like my smile because it doesn't look like you used to 15 years ago or whatever the heck. So I get that, but I'm a chicken shit sandwich made from scraps of maybes, and I wish I could. I feel seen. I'm feeling very naked right now. It's an unfortunate truth, but I think it's a very relatable truth, because how many things, if there was no risk involved, how many of us are doing a million different things? You know, if there was no fear of failure, if there's no fear of rejection, no fear of not being good enough or whatever it is, we'd all be doing different things, or being doing, even if we're doing what we're doing now, we do it wholeheartedly and not tentatively. And, you know, it's a big thing, that hope at the end here, where, you know, despite the fear, you're going to go without that safety net and fly anyway, you know? And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful notion. You know, hope like that is, I fall short of hope like that because I'm all, these are the 10,000 things that can go wrong. So to be like, you know what? Yeah, it might, but look at all the possibilities if it doesn't. And not for nothing, worst case scenarios versus best case scenarios, you know, we usually fall somewhere in the middle, and hopefully we land closer to the best case more often than not. I mean, I don't know anybody who has lived a life of nothing but worst case scenarios. I mean, sometimes I come close, but even with me, that there are things on the other end of that spectrum. So if you hold on to that, you know, you can do anything. And I think that's beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Rakentor, your thoughts?
You took a great concept. You know, the circus, the greatest show. That metaphor. The first, you know, starting with the idea that you know, the circuses aren't what they used to be. They're kind of, you know, fading. So you bring a lot of feeling to something that's slipping away, and that's kind of parallel to the metaphor too, in the sense of, you know, as you get older. You know, if you're, especially if you're lonely or depressed, you know, that's how it feels also. You're like, you know, that kind of thing that's like, you know, not in favor anymore. Nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to ever know about it because, you know, it doesn't exist anymore. And then, you know, you extend the metaphors even further with all the different things in the circus, the trapeze and the high wire and everything. All those concepts and ideas as related to, you know, again, you know, to take that phrase literally, the greatest show, you know, I mean, love, you know, and that's, you know, the ultimate thing. I think we're all looking for that companionship and or I shouldn't say looking for it, but we all appreciate it when we find it. You know, it's not that you're not comfortable by yourself or anything like that, but, you know, it's certainly a lot more fun to share it with somebody. And you know, you bring that out too. And for me, the biggest highlight of that in itself also is the risk in it, because if it's an obligation, if it's a given, then there's no, you know, grace in it. There's no, like, you know, it's expected, it's you're entitled to it, then there's no reason to be grateful for it. But every day, if it's a decision, and you know, they keep coming back for more, that's what makes it beautiful. So, you know, I'll buy a ticket to that show.
All right, thank you so much, appreciate it.
And AP.
Oh, I agree with Chris. Things from within look a bit tawdry and sad compared to outside, and I think the circus analogy is a good one. Mm-hmm. I used the analogy of a tapestry before. You know, within a tapestry, all you see is the ends, but from outside you see a beautiful picture. And I think that's a little bit, you know, what we sort of see. But I do have a challenge for you, Gress. If you are going to fear or no fear, can I ask you to replace year with month and see how that fits, and whether you have to go out there and go out there without that and do it sooner rather than later. That's cool.
I will try. Thank you.
All right. Excellent piece. And Pretty Bird, you want to throw yourself up?
I actually didn't bring one, so I know it's open, but I just wanted
open
to
poetry.
Come and hang. Yeah, all right. You pick somebody else, and I will dig something up.
Oh, okay. Rack, did you throw anything up?
It didn't make it. A show, but I wanted you to play Her Heart Says Moo.
Her Heart Says Moo. Okay, we got to put that in the studio, though. So, why don't we do Frank, or actually we'll do Stephen, because I've got him ready to go. And then you tell Pretty Bird what you want. We'll get that up. So.
I'm on it.
All right. And all I got to do is press play for Stephen.
So I've been watching a lot of Shark Week lately, and this one was written while watching a episode about the Great Hammerhead, and in which there are two different sharks, both over 20 feet long, one in the Florida Keys named Big Mo, and one in the Caribbean named Sunken, and they're trying to prove whether or not they were related or even possibly the same shark. So I call this Big Mo and Sunken Just May Be Relatives on the Florida Key Tree. Goes like this. Sliding through the midnight blue with panoramic ballpine view, ampullae of Lorenzini spread across the massive hammer's head. Gliding over sand and silt, currents from barbed ray muscles spilt, a sting that puts fear into man, delectable treat for mallet grand. Bumping under fishing hull, predatory daggers call, key to under longest bridge. Hunting over Coral Ridge. End poem.
All right. I love when Stephen go out to Shark Week. First off, I know he has a very big passion about saving sharks, and this is one of his, like, life goals, educating people on sharks. So Shark Week always brings out some really great poems from him. And this is another one of these great things, but I love his imagery around here. Across a massive hammerhead, gliding over sand and silt, currents from barbed ray muscles split, a sting that puts fear into man, delectable treat for mallet grand. That shark is pretty massive. But Big Mo and Sunken. So, very detailed, very cool, and kind of scary the way he talks about predatory dragger's call. These are not things that I want to meet in the water, around the water, even though everybody says they're safe and they're fine and they're beautiful. They're not my thing. I'm not going to jump into the water. But I've been watching Shark Week too, Stephen, and yeah, no, I'm all for everybody doing what they're going to do, but I'm just not about to go in and hang out and watch them. So more power to everybody. Just got to do it. Very wonderful. And I'm glad you can do it. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I love how he takes these little nuggets of information and tells a whole little story in a brevity. It's fabulous. I mean, I love how... you know, they might be related. I mean, I'm fascinated by the whole entire thing, to be honest. And he just paints such a beautiful picture, you know, with how beautiful they swim and where they go and how, you know, and how people are a delectable treat for the hammerhead. I mean, it's awesome. I just love his view on all the things he gets excited about. He kind of excites us all, you know?
Yes. And the AP, your thoughts?
Well, I'm actually really glad that countries are starting to turn away from eating shark fins, which I know is one huge thing that Stephen has been talking about now for many years. It does seem rather sad that we would eat only one part of the shark if we did want to eat it. And many, many years now, and it seems that Stephen and many others have brought attention to that, are starting to inexorably slow that horrible practice. So sharks are really interesting things. We have nasty sharks here, obviously. Nasty everything's here. but they're really quite an elegant creature. They really are. They move incredibly quickly. For huge size and bulk, and And we need them around. They're the ultimate predator of the ocean, and they keep the damn place clean. So, and it would seem as if the numbers are increasing here in Australia, which is good news, as long as you're not swimming with them.
Yes, absolutely. And, Gress, your thoughts?
Well, you'd be surprised that you have more chances of being killed in a parachute accident than you have by being eaten by a shark.
Or
struck by lightning, exactly.
Or to be like Max the dog.
It's the same thing in Florida. One of the things in Florida is, I know crocodiles have nasty reputations, but the alligators pretty much won't attack you unless you're inhabiting on their area. And I've swam in lakes filled with alligators, never had a problem. So it's like if animals know you're not there to intentionally harm them, they're more scared of you than you are of them usually. And it's people that go there with a purpose. And the people that feed alligators, I have no respect for them because it's another thing to they just know that they come there and get food. So when somebody gets bitten by an alligator, it's usually because they're just there to get food. They're not there to take your arm off. They just know that, hey, that's a place where I can go get food at. And the same thing with sharks. For the most part, they're not going to attack you because you don't taste good to them. They like seals. They like the blubber. They like all that stuff. And when they attack the surfers, it's because they look like a seal from below. And they just come up there and rub your leg. They rub your leg, and they got that sharp skin. It's like a sandpaper skin. I've had it a couple times when I used to surf. And I respect them. But believe me, I've been scared sometimes from bull sharks. Bull sharks are the worst ones of any kind of shark there is, even though they're smaller than the great white and all that. They'll take a bite out of anything just to see what it is. But I love sharks. Good poem, Stephen. Good job.
Nice. I've caught a hammerhead shark off the pier in Honolulu. And that little
wow, those are huge.
Yeah, it was as big as our car, and it was fun. But yeah, so I've caught a hammerhead shark with an ex-husband of mine, and that was no brilliant move. But that's a story for another day. But
did you keep the shark and get rid of the husband, huh?
When the ex-husband takes your 18-month-old child and the shark is still alive and he puts him on the back of the fin of the hammerhead they start flashing their little head back and forth. Now you know why it's an ex-husband. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah. The child was caught the hammerhead fin and the hammerhead was not quite dead.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was a fun moment in my life. Yeah. But it was quite interesting to end up with one on the, the two of us battling it. It was an interesting day. Night, actually. It took quite a few hours. Quite a few hours to bring that thing in.
You didn't throw it did you?
No. We lived... like in a village kind of thing, and they took it and they cut it up and it was disgusting. I didn't eat it. I tried it, but it was not something I would ever eat again. But the natives kind of loved it, so
mm-hmm.
would not be something I would do. But yeah, so be it. But they're wicked. They're wicked little things for a long time after they get out of the water, just FYI.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like one of these massive ones, though. It was only like, I'd say, 200, 300 pounds. So it wasn't one of these huge.
That's big enough.
1,000 pounds. Yeah. but it was fun. Anyway, Freebird, are you ready?
I am ready with Rack in the studio and on the board. And I my only interesting shark fact is that they pee through their skin because that's gross.
That's funny. I did not know that.
Yeah, it's gross. They absorb whatever they need, and any waste just comes right out through their skin.
That is funny.
Cool. and there's a couple of sharks that actually don't need to keep moving to breathe. Not all of them have to move. There's a couple of them that actually can remain stationary and still breathe.
Wow. All right, Rack, we're ready to go.
Are you hitting it or am I?
Mm-mm.
I got it.
Her heart says moo. The raconteur. I know a gal outstanding in her field, utterly brilliant and ahead of her time. I daydream of her till the cows come home. She has a way of calling my name that's simply bovine. If you share a problem, she'll never steer you wrong. Wouldn't think of pulling up stakes, not one to milk her troubles or beef about her pains and aches. Imagine my horror when I heard she had a problem with her cardiac muscle. It didn't seem veal. Thankfully, she wasn't alone in her tussle. I volunteered my own, but was told it would not do. A plan was in motion to use parts that once went moo. It was touch and go for a while, but I remained steadfast in my belief. When she was declared stable, I was over the moon with relief. She's the spark that makes everything beautiful. I pray she stays safe from harm. Fate left her broke, because the world couldn't afford it if she bought the farm. End poem.
Thank you, Rack.
Very nice.
Very sweet. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you, Gress, for hanging out with us. I appreciate it. It was wonderful to hear from you. Thank you. I love, she makes the spark. She's the spark that makes everything beautiful. I pray she stays safe from harm. Fate left her broke because the world couldn't afford if she bought the farm. Thank you. I wish fate wouldn't have left me so broke, but, you know, heart surgery costs a fortune. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
Oh, I love this. All the steak and veal and cow puns were just kind of perfectly timed in here, and it put a big old smile on my face. I love the affection in this piece most of all, because, you know, there's a touch of adoration, a little flirtation, all the fabulousness, but, you know, there's just a lot of affection in there, and it's just lovely. Absolutely lovely. I mean, I don't have any cow parts, but, you know, I like good tribute to the fabulous.
Yes. And AP, your thoughts?
Well, there's nothing like a good cow poem. I mean, cows are, you know, beautiful creatures. You know, they're smart. You know, they do stuff. They don't run like sheep. And, you know, they're actually worth talking to. And so a cow adoration poem, I think, is completely appropriate. A sheep adoration poem, on the other hand, is completely stupid. But a cow poem...
Oh, no sheep adoration, but cows are good. Good to know. Oh, it's great. All right, Prevert, what do you got for me?
I have How Bliss Becomes Blackwater. It's on the board.
All right.
And it goes like this. Blinded. Unkindness always takes the easy route. Piercing soft tissue just because it's there, leaving nothing but hindsight to bleed vision. Grit in a song can't hide the screams, but the tongue is soft and easily bitten. Shadows and cackles score the self-loathing mind, the birth of insanity, and scripts can't write themselves. A biting lesson in bloodlet memories, diluted, where brackish truth seems blacked down. A stone's throw from salt flats and dry rivulets. A conspiracy to pick clean the bones of truth, whitewashing thoughts just to be left with black tar remains of perception and dehydrated feelings of misplaced inadequacies. Retrospection, introspection, and warped self-perception for the win, because unkindness always takes the easy route. And poem.
Enough. Blind unkindness always takes the easy route. Piercing soft tissue just because it's there, leaving nothing but hindsight to bleed vision. Isn't that the truth? Unkindness always does take the easy route, leaving nothing but hindsight to bleed vision. Where brackish truth seems black down a stone's throw from salt flats and dried rivulets. Conspiracy to pick clean the bones of truth. Whitewashed thoughts just to be left with black tar remains of perception and dehydrated feelings of misplaced inadequacies. God, I love that. Because all unkindness always takes. I love that. I mean, it's just brilliant. It's honest. It's true because, you know, God forbid somebody actually stands up and says, hey, this is the truth. This is my truth. And this is what I've got to say. It's easier just to go behind your back and do all the other things than stand in front of you and just constantly say, you know, chew on this. And this is why. Just keep continually down the road. I think this is hard slap in your face kind of poem, Pretty Bird, and you're really good at writing those and doing it with a lot of emotion and kind of in your face thought process. That's why I love you so much. AP, your thoughts.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, and then I read Pretty Bird's poem.
All righty then.
You know, you gotta love when he pulls Poe out, you know?
I got that.
Is that what he calls it?
OMG.
You started it.
I did nothing. I'm innocent.
And Raconteur.
I his comment kind of went over my head. I'm sorry, AP, but the poem itself, you know, I you know, your relationship with the truth and words are always lovely to listen to. And you know, I can't help but be mildly sarcastic when I say, you know, my idea of hindsight is staring at a woman's behind. So you know, The last line I thought was the most brilliant of the piece, and you know, you close with that mic dropper. I just, you know, your writing is always touching. I thought it was beautiful.
Well, thank you. You guys are awesome.
Just to explain, Rack, the prompt that Pretty Bird used was Raven, and I quoted the first two lines of The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay. Thank you.
And just a little Raven trivia, which you all may know because I tend to be a little birdie. A flock of ravens is a, both a conspiracy and an unkindness. So, hence the conspiracy and unkindness.
Flock of ravens called a conspiracy. Wait a minute, what?
A conspiracy or an unkindness.
Really?
Yep.
I did not know that.
Well, you know, versus murders. What?
That's correct. So did you know what a collection of owls is called, Pretty Bird?
I used to.
Is it a Congress? No. It's called a parliament.
Yes. Yeah, perfectly regal. That's awesome.
I know there's a company now that will have an owl fly in your wedding and hand you your rings.
Oh, wow.
That's all
get
I know.
Get out of here.
That's funky.
Yeah. Like, you know, Harry Potter-ish of it all. But
yeah.
You can have an owl fly in down to the preacher and give you your wedding rings.
That's awesome. I think my favorite name for a flock of a bird are eagles, because they're a convocation, and I just find that fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Well, I need to start looking up some of these flocks of birds. They've got some kick-ass names.
Get the flock out of here.
Oh, my goodness. So who's up next, sweet?
How about Shelby? Or Shelly.
Okay, she is on the board.
All right. Let me hear her sound clip.
My love, you are the world to me. I see my future bright and clear. You taught me how love should be. All I want is to hold you near. Your tender kisses soothe, your touch sets me alight. I love the way you move, our bodies melting at night. Tongues teasing sensations, eyes burn with electricity. Breath whispers vibrations, alive in the simplicity. It's beautiful how much you care, your love is a dream come true. All that life has to offer, I'll share. I want to do everything with you. End poem.
Wow. That is actually beautiful. Quite sensuous. Quite tender. Quite the very love poem. Your tender kisses soothe, your touch sets me alight. I love the way you move, our bodies melting at night. All that life has to offer, I'll share. I want to do everything with you. I think it's a very beautiful love poem, entwined in ecstasy and sensuality and, earnest. I thought it was well put together. Very beautifully done. AP, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's beautiful piece, it's beautifully rhymed, but more to the point, it's just got a lovely spirit and sense and centeredness in the writing and. I can only hope that that centeredness is still there.
Absolutely. And Rack?
Yeah, there's a lovely connection in this that, when you're in a relationship that you definitely, at least I kind of hope for, and it's one of those things that kind of leads to the other ideas of happily ever after and whatnot, at least while you're together. It's beautiful, it's sensual, it's romantic, it's inspiring.
Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
I love this piece. I can't write like this because I'm all darkness and even my love is, you know, kind of shadowed. But there is not necessarily an innocence, but a, maybe it is an innocence to the joy in this piece, because it's all hope and happily ever after, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing, you know. Breath whispers vibrations, alive in the simplicity is my favorite notion. Those two lines are kind of the root of everything, whether it is physical or emotional or intellectual. It's all those things. When it comes down to the root of it, it's either what's the word I'm looking for? It's you're either attracted to it or you're not. And this is all good things, and it's a lovely, lovely brevity.
Awesome. Okay, so I have a caller in the studio by the name of Anxious Rodent. Very shy, like Pretty Bird Syndrome shy. So, Pretty Bird, I'm going to hand them over to you. I don't think you even know how to post a poem on the board. I've got them convinced to call in. So we're going to say hi. And then I'm going to have you walk them through everything, okay?
In the green room?
Yeah. Well, no, they're not in the green room. I'm going to just say hi to them now, okay?
Hi to them now.
Hello, Anxious Rodent.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good so far, kind of. Anxious.
Good. So you've got Sweet Pea on the line, you've got AP, you've got Pretty Bird, and you've got Raconteur.
Hello.
So
we don't bite.
I already told her we didn't bite. So do you know how to post your poem in on the board?
No. I was about to ask that.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and let Pretty Bird walk you through that. She's going to talk to you in the green room for a minute, okay? And so you guys will go off air and she'll talk you through that. And then you guys can come back and you can read for us, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I will take you in there right now.
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
You're welcome.
All right. So, AP, do you have anything else to read for me? Major crazy stuff that you want to throw down? It's open poetry.
Oh, I think I've always loved you this week. Were you there earlier in the week when I did Within Ink? I don't think you were.
No, I don't think I was.
Let me grab that and put that on the board.
Okay.
And see what you think of this one.
All right.
Sort of follows the last poem a little bit, although it's nowhere quite as nice as that. But anyway, this is Within Ink. And it goes a little bit like this. Ink patterns of you trace on me, drawn while dancing into pose. By green lace unlocked to see, from hair tresses to dainty toes, of waves and curls by ocean, here memories of current past, imprinted onto skin in motion, so recall shadows heritage cast. Her assured movements seek for haste as winces showers, mind while her balance tweaks in the ascent of tropical flowers, and in the fulcrum of weight find an accommodation of news to form, minds melded once troubles lined, created as this harbour from storm. For one, their own sands will weigh, yet if two find that balance share, and blooms in a beauty every day, in the simple and complex, if there, in poems.
Oh, yeah, this is really nice. I like this a lot. I like ink patterns of you trace on me, drawn while dancing in pose by green lace unlocked to see from hair tresses to dainty toes. It's a very lovely description. This is sensual in movement. I love when poems have like a flow and movement to them, and this is definitely sensual movement throughout. You do a very fine balance of that throughout this. And I like the very end of it, in the simple and complex, if you dare, because there's never anything that's so simple as the complexity of this dance. Because it seems like it should be so simple, but it's far, far more complex, if anything. So I really, really enjoyed this a lot. Mrak, your thoughts?
Yeah, that you hit on the thing that tickled me the most too, because when you talk about something in simple terms, there's usually a lot more to it. And, you know, when you break it down, you almost do it in an injustice, but, you know, at the same time, it's kind of an entryway into the thought. And then when you get into the complexities of it, that's when you're really kind of showing your affection for it and your understanding of it. And to me, you know, everything is about that understanding, because that's what brings things together. This is a beautiful piece.
Thanks, Rick.
Yes, it is. Oh, lovely. So are you headed out, sir? Are you done for the evening? Are you still sticking around?
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Slice.
I thought you were heading out.
She was asking if you're headed out.
Are you still sticking around?
No, I'm sticking around.
Oh, awesome. So for some reason, I thought you said you had to go. I don't. Must have heard things. All right.
No,
so
I haven't. Actually, I've just been crazy busy, but I'm sticking around for that.
Oh, awesome. I hear it. The world can live without His Majesty for an evening. That's amazing. You've been very, very busy lately.
Uh-huh. I have. Yeah, no, very, very true. I have been very, very busy lately, but, you know, it's all good things. All good things. And you'll notice this week that I've been doing a few line drawings too.
Yes.
So your hand is healed nicely.
Well, it's just, you know, I'm getting myself organized to do my first book, and I thought I should have.
I was just
going to
ask
some line
you how your book is.
Yeah, no, the first poetry book is I've actually got the poems together for it. and I thought I could either annoy my daughter, who is a very good visual artist, or I could just go and do some myself. And so there's a little bird put on the board there, so I'm just starting to get back into it.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and use your voice, sir, and have you read Kudo.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do that.
Yes. So. I would have Rack do it, but it doesn't come in Braille. So.
No. Oh, it's DS0. I got it like that. A little bit of Latin. Okay. Are you happy for me to read?
Yeah. Ready for that.
Oh. Okay, here we go. This is Dies Irae by Kudo, and it goes a little bit like this. Travails, liquidators, somber, timbre, the slow rolling melody infused into each distinct ledger of breath. Warning the subtle nuance of bars, hinting on the aftermath of distance that shortens each moment in draw span. Those fleeting junctures of tranquil ebb, seeking to prolong what cannot be done. A farcical stage of celluloid snapshots, transplanting memory bundles to maturity, yet the laughter is hollow and tone deaf. one hardly noticeable the sounds of ticking reverberate louder still as the chamber ticks one less. He has come to claim the spoils, his plectrum winding the dirge, wafting from hallowed core. But are we ready to acquiesce? End poem.
Well, you read it, so you're the first to speak of it.
Ah! Oh, well, Dies Irae is a very famous singing Latin term because it's used quite in a lot of requiems, and I remember singing Mozart's Requiem, and it's got a beautiful tenor line that starts at Dies Irae, the picture and image talks about that day of the wraith or the dark person coming to go and grab something, and he has certainly done that within the words, and I've really quite enjoyed it.
I loved the Grim Reaper aspect of it, and his quote for J.R. Tolkien, you know, all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. I thought this wonderfully done. His imagery is spot on. The music, the tone of the music that he's, you know, given us, those fleeting junctions of tranquil ebb, seeking to prolong what cannot be done. Are we not always trying to figure out what vitamin we can take, what walk we can do, what magic pill there might be to prolong what eventually will come? You know, that tick-tock of time, that tick-tock of kind, but are we ready to acquiesce? No, we are never ready to acquiesce. We will fight for every breath we can have. And I just love how he kind of wrapped that up in a very dark and, you know, prodding way, like, are you ready because I'm coming? Are you ready because I'm coming? Are you ready because I'm coming? Kind of tone in it. And I thought he did a beautiful job of that. Pretty Bird is Boss.
I love Bud. You know, I get lulled into his songs that run the gamut of emotions, but when he writes outside of music, and while this is still musical, it is, he can tell a great story. I mean, Don't Fear the Reaper, right? I mean, this once hardly noticeable, the sounds of ticking reverberate louder still as the chamber ticks one less. Like, you know, that the clock reaching towards the end of life is louder and louder day by day as the number of beats your heart makes just winds down. And what a beautiful way to put that. And I love that, you know, the Reaper is, you know, got his guitar, you know, he's wielding the axe, and he is just playing away. And are we ready? And is anyone ever really ready? I mean, we can prepare and we can know it's coming, and sickness or health or whatever the case may be, I don't know anybody who in those final moments, I've seen people pass, there always seems to be a little light, a spark, a knowing, a joy of, but I want to be here, you know, that little thing before there's nothing. And it's beautiful. And whether that is that they're seeing something that we can't see, I don't know. But I know that they never really seem, unless, you know, like my mom, who was in a bad way, and, you know, if it's ending, you know, pain, that's different. But generally speaking, it's, I don't know if anybody's ever truly prepared for the end, you know. But I love this. But are we ready to acquiesce? And I love his word choices, from using plectrum instead of pick to, you know, dirge, acquiesce, that celluloid. I love his word choices. It just kind of pulls me in because I'm a bit of a word nerd. So, you know, I love this piece.
Rack and Tor, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's beautifully dark and foreboding. I mean, the idea of the end and kind of trying to run from it as fuel as it is, and you know, whether you're ready or not. I mean, the reaper, the axe, the whole feel of it. And then the requiem, to me, you know, I like to think of, you know, what do they call it, like an Irish wake, the, you know, the celebration of death. So, you know, to me, the song is a happy one, not the sad, like, funeral dirge. When I hear requiem, I think of, you know, the sadness of a passing, or the, you know, that speaks to the fear of the piece to me, you know, because, you know, who knows what tomorrow holds, and you know, it's not so much, I don't think, a question of being ready. It's, you know, you're going to, you know, finally pay the piper. Can you afford it? That kind of a thought is really frightening because, you know, and when we have to, you know, even up the scales, it's like, you know, I don't know. I'm afraid of being judged.
Beautiful. And Anxious Rodent, do you have a comment you'd like to share? Anxious Rodent, are you ready to read?
Sorry, I forgot I was muted.
Oh, that's okay.
Yes, I guess so.
Whenever you're ready, you can read your poem.
My poem is called Dear Self. I'd like to apologize for how badly I treated you and made you tell all those lies. Forgive me for what I put you through, all the heartbreaks you dealt within, the tears that were shed, all those feelings that were hidden, all trapped inside your head. I watched you torture yourself, looking for a way out. You kept looking at me, begging for help. You began to scream and shout. You asked for mercy, and I gave you misery. Miscommunication, I guess. I'm so sorry.
Well, Stephanie, is that a self-reflection poem? And I like, you kept looking at me, begging for help. You began to scream and shout. You asked for mercy, but I gave you mercy, misery,
miscommunication. She got cut off, I think.
She's still in the studio. We can't hear you, sweet. Or did you accidentally hit mute?
Maybe.
Can you hear me now, guys?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what happened. Sorry, I was just saying that I like how it's a poem that it's like a letter to oneself. And, you know, the tears that were shed, all you've done to, all trapped in your head, kind of like an apology to yourself. And I like some of the words you use, like, Where is it? You asked for mercy. I gave you misery. A miscommunication, I guess. I really liked how this was presented. AP, your thoughts?
Well, first and foremost, and get prudent, don't listen to all the good bodies on the site. I tell you not to rhyme. Please continue rhyming. If you're a rhymer like myself and like you, you just keep rhyming in poems and you do it with more skill and with even better meter. This has got lovely, lovely rhymes. It's got very good meter and it's got great reflection and it's a very neat little piece and you read it very well.
Thank you.
And Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
You know, I have to say, I'm a great deal older than you, and this is not an easy thing to do. Self-reflection is never easy because nobody wants to look at themselves. Nobody wants anybody else to see the things they're trying to hide, much less the things we hide from ourselves. So to realize that, you know, we're hard on ourselves at a young age, to me, is wonderful because the sooner we realize that, maybe the sooner we can learn how to forgive ourselves for all the things that we did, whether we knew better or not. Because, you know, life has a way of teaching us through pain. And it's they're rough lessons, all of them. You know, you learn not to lie because you've been lied to and know what that feels like. You learn, you know, all of these things because you live through one side or the other, or you've seen somebody live through it because, you know, we have that ability to learn through other people's mistakes. I personally have to fall on my own face, you know, to learn anything because I'm hard-headed. But I love this. I love that in this you see those cries for help and acknowledge that, you know, you are having it, you know, and I love that the idea of miscommunication, because how insightful is that how often do we sit there and think, you know, this is, I know what's best for me and I know what I want and I know and I know and I know, even when things in us are very much, well, maybe we shouldn't. And you know, it takes some time to flesh out all of that as we grow through adulthood. This is a learning cycle that's a lifetime for us. And so I like the idea of miscommunication, where you kind of heard it, but you know, we're like, well, maybe that's not what it is. Maybe it's this. And I love that because it's honest. And you know, it makes you feel something. You know, when you write anything that has some truth in it, even, you know, a hint of a side-skirted truth, it makes you feel something. And this absolutely does that.
And Raconteur, your thoughts?
Yeah, I enjoyed this piece. You know, when you talk about relationships, there's a point, I think, when, you know, because you try and remember the good times, but it's the passion behind the bad times that I think burns hardest, because, you know, there's that frustration behind it that you know, like you say, the miscommunication. And, you know, one of the things that you hear a lot of times when you argue and things aren't working out is you don't understand me. So you need to kind of look back and try and be able to explain yourself, and that's not always an easy thing to do. And you manage to say, you know, exactly where you're coming from and acknowledge what it is that you saw, because that's another thing that you know, tends to fall through the cracks is, you know, people tend to think, you know, in that expression of, you know, you don't understand me is, well, you know, you didn't see it. And sometimes you do see it, you just don't choose to acknowledge it or say it out loud. And it turns into this whole, you know, falling short kind of a thing, and really, you know, things just tend to crumble at that point. So this is really a beautiful write, very, very heartfelt.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Well done. So I hope it wasn't too hard for you to be a part of this. And
this felt like I didn't want to interrupt everyone, and I feel like I just keep saying thank you.
Good. Hello, Crystal.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Well, now that you're here, we'll put your poem up. I was waiting for you.
You are on the board. I got it. This one is called Reflections, and that's a picture that I took at the camp that I was just at. Here we go. Does a stream ever want to stop streaming? Is the pond desperate to ripple? Would the world stop if its foundation was crippled? Slipping beneath the cracks of crunchy dried leaves, would the trees blossom at the sight of apple seeds? Pine cones quiver under the quill, poking the bristles of sassafras. Stems bending down, dripping with water of clear brass. Do the dearth pathways bury the roots of broken branches? Will the rocks boulder together to watch the dandelions dance? Would the sunset chatter if the moon was clouded by darkness? And would the light reflect on the reflections our heart says? End poem.
Beautiful. I really enjoyed that. Slipping beneath the cracks of crunchy dried leaves, would the trees blossom at the sight of apple seeds? I found that really pretty. Would the trees blossom at the sight of apple seeds? It's like, would something come alive or find beauty at the sight of something new, or remembering of what they should be? And I like the watch the dandelions dance. You know, I think I found beauty in dandelions when I got my first bunch of dandelion bouquet from my grandson. And I thought now they're the most beautiful flower on the planet are dandelions, because I get dandelion bouquet. So I find them to be the most beautiful flower on the planet. And I just, there's just beauty throughout this. You know, the moon was clouded by darkness, and would the light reflect on the reactions our hearts say? Really, really pretty, Crystal. I really enjoyed. There's just a lot of reflection in this. AP, your thoughts?
Interesting poem. It sort of, when we go away and we're at a isolated part of the world, we get a chance to think about what's been going on, and we get a chance to think about what's been going on within ourselves. And this really strikes me as a poem of really deep reflection, and I really enjoyed it, Crystal.
Thank you, AC.
And Racky 4.
You know, I hear Crystal going to camp, and I think of Crystal Lake, and I expect horror. But, I mean, this is something beautiful. You know, for me, it's a little difficult because, you know, I don't have any eyesight left. So these are things that I have experienced. So I kind of hold on to the memories, and you definitely conjure up pictures of them beautifully, you know, down to the dandelions, you know. It's lovely scenery and nature related, and I'm sure the picture that you took, it's beautifully representative of it. You know, I could tell you had a good time at the camp.
thanks, Rick. And I actually do have a few haunted things that happened. I might write about them in the months to come.
And Pretty Bird.
you know, I'm not one to commune with nature, but this is what communing with nature should feel like. There's this kind of peaceful contemplation, and I love your picture, by the way. It has a life of its own, and you kind of captured that moment kind of as the sun sets, the earth gets quiet, nature's voice rises, and you're in that moment surrounded by that vast beauty of all these things going on while you're standing still. And I think that you caught the inquisitiveness of those moments in a very beautiful way, because, you know, it's not often that we have those moments to actually ponder things that, you know, like or to look at things like pine cones quivering under the quill, which is lovely turns of phrases in here, and you just paint in such a lovely mood. You know, it's like I almost want to, and I say almost because, like I said, me and nature are not friends, but I almost want to go and walk through the local parks here that have the pathways just like that, that go over lakes and canals and all kinds of things. There's a lot of beauty to be had. I personally don't like bugs, so me and nature are not friends because I'm allergic to everything. But this is beautiful, and it's beautiful enough that it makes me want to.
Thank you,
Jamie.
You're welcome.
Can I have s'mores?
Oh, if I hear about s'mores one more time.
Please, Crystal, can I have s'mores?
No. I won't let you have any more. You're not allowed, Rat. All right. Got two more here to go. And then we will be done for the evening. All right. I have this beautiful one here. Hello, Frank. I'm going to hit the sound clone for this. And this is Laughing Souls. So I will hit that one. Here we go.
Let me rest. No more in pieces. A poem by Laughing Soul. I never wanted to climb the Everest, or even hike a feat for God's sake. All I wanted to do was sit at the feet of the majestic Himalaya at a swanky cafe and enjoy a steamy thukpa. It was you who saw a Sherpa in me or a Yeti. It was you who wanted me to be a warrior instead of a soul carefree. It was you who tried feeding me burning coals whilst I kept exhaling love every season, every damn season, blistered and cold. I never wanted to clean dirty laundry or be that model you fantasize seeing me. All I wanted was to have stretch marks, a gift of motherhood, a gift of womanhood. All I wanted was to cook for you and be your doll. But it was you who thought I was some trophy, a piece of art snatched from the world to be flaunted with pride. Yes, yes, I was priceless, a treasure to be cherished for life, not till my body didn't show up its wrinkles and folds. I was not someone you'd abuse because you no more saw in me the once sparkling gold. I kept washing the dirty laundry of your godforsaken words, those daggers that so bluntly pierced. I kept forgiving and forgiving, and even would start my day forgetting the bruises of last night on my soul. But you forgot how to repair those loose ends. You forgot the art of kintsugi. You forgot that cracks can be mended with love. and I then forgot to forgive, for I remembered I was priceless. I am still stuck maybe in a cracked mirror of that cafe or in an unhinged cradle of past. But I now plead to you with a sore heart. Let me rest my fallen petals in the broken vase till dusk comes calling. Let me rest now in peace, not no more in peace. Embo.
Well, that's the plea of a broken heart. If I was you who saw a Shepra or me or a Yeti, I really found this very interesting. You know, I never wanted to clean dirty laundry. All I wanted was to have stretch marks, a gift of motherhood. Or gift of Woodyhood. You know, I didn't want to be your trophy. I just wanted to be your everyday wife. You know, you treated me this way or treated me this way. And I love the ending, you know. Now let me rest in peace, but no more in pieces. You know, it's definitely the cry of a broken heart. You know, I've forgotten to forgive you because I remembered I was priceless. You know, it's definitely a well-written piece of, from a broken heart. I really enjoyed this Laughing Soul. It has a very unique perspective to it. AP, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, it's very, very hard when you're close to somebody and you think you have a perspective of somebody and In this particular case of Laughing Soul, that this was a person that she could find peace with, and to use her words, she's ended in pieces in going down that path, and the words that she found so soothing have become daggers and have made her life harder. And see, that's the problem, isn't it, really? Because you can't really experience love without making yourself vulnerable, and if it doesn't work, it hurts, and that's what this poem talks about. It talks about vulnerability, and that's why it's a good poem.
That's very true. And Raconteur.
Yeah, I like this. It screams about the different ideas of the roles in a relationship. You know, some people want to put their partner on a pedestal and treat them like a porcelain doll and they just want to be your wife. You know, the differences in perspective, like AP mentioned, start to wear thin. And sometimes we lie to ourselves and we think we can make it work. Because love conquers all. And you could fix it and you could mend it and you could forgive it, but over time it just, it wears and it leaves you in pieces, because each time you get hurt, it chips off another little bit until you keep giving of yourself and until you've given everything away and you've got nothing left. So this speaks of all that to me. It's a cry, but it's in a wonderful tone that's very relatable and understandable, unfortunately.
And Crystal?
I've read this one before first and heard the SoundCloud, and I always love the emotion that's in her voice and in her words, because it's kind of like she just, lets all of it, bleed on the page of how she feels and stuff, because a lot of times we do just want to just feel like an everyday person. We don't want to either be looked down upon or just like what everybody was saying, put on a pedestal. But I love the towards the end, I am stuck maybe in a cracked mirror, that cafe, or in an unhinged trail of the past. but now I plead to you with a sore heart. I just love that cracked mirror part, like, and just thinking of that, like, great metaphors that are in there. This is a very beautiful, emotional piece.
Yeah. All right, we've got Frank. And then we are out of here for the night. So let's load him up.
He's up.
All right. Let's go, Franklin.
Sparrows sing the sad song of the morning sorrow as the gentle winds brush the petals of the weeping bloom. And a deafening weariness prevails over the silent voices of yesterday, who once had smelled the sweet, powdery scent of the blue bonnets. The essence of the innocence of children is lost to memories. Within the dewdrops of the falling tears, a mournful mother's, in the warm embrace of the somber fathers nearby, for the regret is that they will never hold their children again. Over the lonesome fields of the rose of yellow roam their souls, as they open their wings to fly with the monarch butterflies, when the fresh dawn shines its tangerine colour brightly above the tincture of wreaths and ribbons placed upon the hollow playground. Fly away, my beautiful cherubs, unto the depth of the cerulean sky, until you reach the moon and twinkle with the wistful stars. Your nocturnal moonbeams glisten with your dancing shadows as you whisper into the soothing breeze the echoes of your fading breath gone into the hallowed air. Behold, the awakened sun flung, healing the broken hearts of grief, for the day shall bring the sunshine to remember the young faithful of children. Cry no more, for the storm shall pass, and so shall the rain.
Well, cry no more from the storm, shall pass, and so shall the rain. This is a very somber poem, Frank. But I love the title, Awaken from the Sunflowers. The essence of the innocence of children is lost to memories where the dewdrops of the fallen, tears of the mournful mothers, and the warm embrace of somber fathers nearby. For their regret is they never hold their children again. I mean, this is a very sad it's just the whole thought of this is devastating, and I think you did a beautiful job, you know, in tribute to them. And almost heartbreaking to even talk about it. And I'm glad I ended my show with this. This tribute is absolutely beautiful. And again, I think the title, The Awakened Sunflowers, to give a voice to those children that were killed in Texas. Very well done. Very beautiful, Frank. And there's not much more to say than that. It was absolutely stunning, and thank you. AP, any comments on this?
It's beautifully written. It's done so in an appropriately somber way. And despite the rampant list of failings of the people who showed up, 376 of them, and under incredibly poor leadership, couldn't actually work out what to do. It doesn't actually ever go to fix and to solve the fact that so many innocent people were lost.
And Rackentor, your thoughts?
Yes, somber is definitely the word that I would use as well. I mean, you know, the subject, you covered it beautifully. It was a lovely tribute to what happened, keeping things in perspective and saying it in the right, the reverent tone that you did. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. It was a beautiful poem. All right. I definitely want to thank everybody that was here tonight. Rackentor, Deborah Lee, Pretty Bird, AP, Anxious Broden, Gressman. You guys were just amazing, as always. To me, Pretty Bird, I can't do this without you. Deborah Lee, I can't do this without you. You guys always in my studio, always helping me run things smooth. Laughing Soul, Shelby, Shelly, Steven, AP, Frank, everybody that wrote tonight. You guys rocked my world, as always. I just had a great show with the Open Poetry. Bud, your poem was actually wonderful. Trying to think off my top of my head now. AP, you made me giggle without your snakes, but made it very special tonight with your border collie story. Laughing Soul, Frank, Crystal, and my new anxious. And actually, Titus, I just closed my show. I just got your poem. I will be putting that on next week's show because the show is over, and unfortunately, I can't get that in there right now. So it will be put to next week. I apologize. I know you're in France right now, so... unfortunately, the show is already over, and I just got it, and the show is closed. So I can't block talk. Will not let me put anything else in the studio. But that doesn't mean I won't put it in next week. I will talk to you guys later. Have a great night. Thanks for being here. Good night, guys. Goodbye, guys.
Thank you.